It's that time. It's good to have you tonight. We appreciate your being here. We're ready for Psalm 92, number 38. And I have prepared the last two pages for you. Jenny has those. Through page 9. That's it. I just finished that today for you. Psalm 92. I asked the question, do you see any value of old people? Anybody see any value of old people?
I see value in you, Johnny.
I didn't ask that. Sit up.
No, I didn't ask. Okay.
That's one. In Psalm 92, verse 14, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. People have a tendency, I guess, to get that way when they get older. But anyhow, I'm thinking about, do you see any value in old people? The reason I ask that is because a lot of people have the idea today that if you're old, and I don't know when you get old necessarily, you're not fruitful anymore. You don't ought to be put on the shelf. I told a friend of mine who's looking for a preaching job.
Your old people are teachers.
Yeah. Can be.
Mentors.
I was talking to a friend of mine who's a preacher, and he's only in his 60s. That's not very old, is it, Greg?
Young man.
Yeah. And he's having trouble finding a place to preach. He's tried out a number of places, and one group said, well, you're too old. I don't understand that quite yet. Do you? Anybody understand that? What I think some churches want is a guy that's about 45 with 45 or 6 years of experience. Mm-hmm. That's hard to come by. What are some values of people who've gotten older? From a spiritual standpoint. Anybody want to suggest some?
The knowledge of the Scripture.
What?
The knowledge of the Scripture.
All right. Their knowledge, if they apply themselves, they can be that way. Not necessarily, but that can happen. What else?
They've been tested.
What?
They've been tested.
All right. Tested. Any value that you see in using old people? By the way, if you didn't know how old you are, how old would you be?
As old as you feel.
Hard to answer it. Do you remember anything that we covered in the Chronicles, the book of the Chronicles? When the people was wanting advice, and to whom did they turn? Well, One group in 2 Chronicles 10, they forsook the counsel of the old men. It says, we forsook the counsel which the old men gave, and took the counsel with the young men that were brought up with him that stood before him. And he said unto them, what advice give ye that you may return answer to this people, which have spoken to me, saying, else somewhat the yoke that the fathers did put upon us? And the young men that were brought up with them spake and said, thus shall the answer the people, they shall speak unto thee, saying, the father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it somewhat lighter for us. Thus shall thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. Whereas my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I'll chastise you with scorpions. And so on that occasion, the advice of the young men was not so hot, not so good. Now, I think both old and young have their place in the Lord's kingdom, don't you? There's a place, I think, for all of us. So I think there's some value. And a lot of people, I think, fail to see the use of older men and women and the Lord's work.
The thing is, the older people have already seen so much more than we have, and the younger people, and they had to deal with things that they haven't even come up against yet.
Yeah.
But yet they seem to have the answers.
Yeah, they always have. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, at least. Younger preachers, for an example, have not been through the battles that older preachers have, like institutionalism and other issues that's faced the church in times past and gone. And so they don't really have a clue about how to deal with those kind of issues. And I think there's some value to that, but be that as it may. In Psalm 94, I ask the question from Psalm 94, who owns vengeance? First of all, who would define, what is vengeance anyhow? What?
Revenge.
You have revenge? What do you do if you're going to take vengeance? It's the idea of doing what? Or getting, I'm getting even with you. Okay? What?
Knife for an eye.
Yeah, knife for an eye, tooth for tooth. Does the Bible ever teach that? The Old Testament did. The Old Testament taught an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, didn't it?
Yeah.
Does the New? It does not. It shows the change in the covenants from the Old to the New. Vengeance. Vengeance. Psalm 94, verse 1. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Vengeance belongs to whom? God. Did you find a New Testament reference that deals with this same idea and same principle? Anybody?
Romans 12, 19.
Right. In Romans 12, 19, what's that about, Howard?
As vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.
Okay. Avenge not thyself, rather give place unto wrath. What does that mean when it says, for it is written? Written in the Old Testament. Don't forget that. Every time you see that phrase in the New Testament. By the way, that's a quotation from Deuteronomy 32:35. That passage is. And so way back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, and verse 35. 32:35. Who wrote Deuteronomy? Who wrote that book? Moses did, didn't he? Okay. The text says in the book of Deuteronomy 32, and Moses wrote on this particular subject, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense, the Lord said. Belongs to him. So we need to be careful with it. Vengeance. The tendency is, somebody do you wrong, what's the tendency?
Yeah.
Robin?
To do wrong to them.
Yeah, get back.
Yeah.
Yeah. You do me wrong, I do you wrong. Attitude. But vengeance is not yours. I preach a sermon sometimes that I call about things that belong to God. Vengeance belongs to God, not to you and me. He said he'll take care of that. He will repay. And then he said in verse 20 of Romans 12, therefore, when you see the word therefore in the Bible, what does that tell you? What's he doing? Drawing a conclusion. The conclusion is, therefore, if an enemy hunger, what? Kick him? Feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now, you don't want to do that. You don't want to literally heap coals of fire on his head. But when you treat him that way, it's as if you were heaping coals of fire on his head. And then he said, verse 21 of Romans 12, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what?
Good.
The best remedy for overcoming evil is returning good. That's not always easy, is it? But it's possible, or the Lord would not have told us to be doing that. Anything you want to ask or say about vengeance? It's not yours. Let somebody else take care of that. Let the Lord take care. He'll handle that. Okay? You know, it's been said, what goes around, and how's that finish out, Caleb? What goes around?
Comes around.
Comes around. Okay. Psalm 95. He says in the first verse, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." When you see that little phrase, "Let us make a joyful noise to the Lord," how do people misuse that? By adding mechanical instrumental music to the worship. They say, there did you, make a joyful noise. But we must remember that the book of Psalms belongs to what law? The law of Christ or the law of Moses? The law of Moses. And the law of Moses has been nailed to the cross, done away with, when Jesus died on the cross. Colossians 2 and in verse 14. Okay? Verses 6 to 9. "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." The Bible calls upon both Old and New Testament people to worship God. God has always expected that. For reason, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, verse 7, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. That's a quotation. And it's repeated where?
Hebrews.
Yeah. In chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. I've mentioned to us a number of times that when you see a quote in the Old Testament and then it fulfilled in the New Testament, it helps you appreciate the fact that the Bible is what? From God. It's inspired. And it all fits together just exactly like that. Okay? That's Psalm 95. And then he talks about in the verse 10 and 11 of chapter 95, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation. What's that about? 40 years. They were 40 years where? In the wilderness, wandering about like vagabonds. Can you imagine that, just wandering around for 40 years? A lot of people do that today. Just wandering around with no aim, no purpose. You know anybody like that? Just wandering around. "Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest." Rest. Jesus said in the Matthew 11, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you shall find what? Rest. Rest for your soul. Rest. Rest." In Hebrews 9, he talks about there remaineth a rest for the people of God. And so the Bible addresses both Old and New Testaments about God's rest. Okay? I ask you to look at Psalm 102 and note any lessons that you might like. It's a prayer. The author is unknown of this particular chapter. By the way, David wrote most of the Psalms. You aware of that? But some of them, we don't know who wrote them. This is one of them. But this writer said, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee." That tells me that when we pray to whom? God. In the model prayer, when Jesus taught the disciples how to pray, he said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." How did it go? How does it start? Mabel.
Our Father.
Our Father which art in heaven. Now that's a model prayer. Jesus was not praying. Don't ever call that the Lord's Prayer. I hear people doing that. You're misusing that when you say that. It's not the Lord's Prayer. Why not, Art?
It just isn't.
He wasn't praying.
He wasn't praying. He was teaching us how to pray.
Teaching the disciples how to pray.
It was an
example. Yeah, it's a model prayer, how to pray. And you can't even pray that prayer today, totally, can you? Why can't you? Who knows?
It says, "Thy kingdom will come."
Yeah, Howard. In that prayer, it said, "Thy kingdom come." The kingdom's the church, and it's already
here.
It's already come. Now, when that prayer was made, the church had not been established. It was in the future. You can't even pray that today. You might say, Lord, increase the kingdom. But you can't say, thy kingdom come. It's already come. But it hadn't been when he directed them to pray that way. The Lord's Prayer is found where? Who knows?
John 17.
John 17. Right, John. Great. I like that quick answer. In John 17, when he prayed that we might all be one as he and the Father one. And you can read that prayer in John chapter 17. That's the Lord's Prayer, by the way.
Verse 20 on.
And on. Yes. Wonderful. I like that. Psalm 102. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me. In the day when I call, answer me how? Speedily. Quickly. Why? Before my days are consumed like what? Smoke. And my bones are burned as in a hearth. My heart is smitten. Where's your heart, by the way? Where's the Bible heart? Put your hand on your Bible heart. Everybody. It's up here. Here's the Bible heart. No, if you put it down here, what's wrong with that, Caleb?
You think up here, you know up here.
Yeah, you think up here. You don't think with this is the what? The blood pump. That's all that does. And it's important.
Yes.
You want it to keep pumping, correct? But here's the heart that thinks and loves and obeys and so on, right? Most people miss that. I hear people saying, well, I know I'm saved because I can what? Feed it in my heart. And put the hand right here. You got your hand in the wrong place. Here's the Bible heart. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I'm like the pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I watch and I'm as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. That's a sad place to be, a lonely sparrow. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread. Why? Hunger, I guess. And mingled my drink with weeping. Because of thine indignation, thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a what?
Shadow.
My days are like a shadow. What's that tell you, Robin? Our days on earth like a shadow.
It's going to be quick.
Gone, soon gone. You look out the door and your house casts a shadow, and you go back a few hours, guess what, Phyllis? There. You look out the door. Let me start again. You look out the door and your house casts a shadow. You go back a few hours later, and guess what? It's gone. What's that telling us here? My days are like a shadow. Short. Brief. Soon gone. Don't ever get to thinking you've got a lease on life. You haven't. And have you signed a lease on life? You signed a lease with anybody to tell you how long you're going to be here? I doubt it. Verse 12, O thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever. Well, you can see that some of the great values of 102. I want to pick up verse 27, Psalm 102, 27. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. That tells you something about God. What does it tell you? He doesn't. He's unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Hebrew writer says. Remember that? Same yesterday. Now, when you say that, when people read that, like Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, they say, well, that means he's never changed his laws. That the old law is still binding. You ever heard people use that argument? They tried. But he's not talking about that God never changed the law. He's talking about his character. He's unchangeable in his character. That's the point he's making about that. And I hope you can see that. In Psalm 103. Yes.
Malachi 3:6, it says, For I am the Lord, I change not.
Yeah, I change not. Does that mean never change his law? No. You're going to have to talk about his character, right? He's dependable. So on. Psalm 103. What is said about us in this chapter? What'd you put in that blank? Who wants to handle that for us? Go ahead, Yvette.
I didn't put anything in the blank.
Okay.
I put God takes care of us.
What do you say about us? What verse are you using?
Benefits.
Okay, he gives us benefits. That's good. We looked at that other last week. I talked to you about benefits. Remember that? Now look at verse 14. Here's the answer. What does he say about us? He knoweth our what?
Frame.
Our frame. What's your frame? What's that? What is your frame?
The body.
Huh? It's your body. And he remembereth that we're what?
Dust.
What part of a man is dust? Tabby? The body or the spirit? Huh? The body. When God created man from in the beginning, in Genesis 2:7, God created man from what? The dust of the ground. And breathed in those nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's how we got here. Genesis 2:7. Dust. And we shall return to what? Dust. The thing that makes you tick, the thing that makes you who and what you are is not the body. Ryan, what is it?
The spirit,
the inner man. Well, you know, we're two men. There's the outward man that decayeth and perishes, and the inner man that's renewed day by day, Paul said, 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. Verse 15 of Psalm 103. As for man, what about us? His days are as grass. What does that mean, Rebecca? His days are as grass.
Grass withers away.
Yeah, it grows, withers away. That's the description of a man's entire life, like grass. Comes up, greens, cuts it. Pretty soon it dies down. That's life. As for man, his days are as grass. And as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. A flower comes up in the field. Pretty soon it's what? Leslie? It's dead, gone. That's life. For the wind passes over it and is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. How long do you think you'll be remembered when you're gone?
One generation.
Huh?
One generation.
You think you'll be remembered that long?
Maybe.
I heard somebody give this description of how much you'll be missed when you're gone. They said, get you a bucket of water, roll your sleeve up past your elbow, stick your arm in the bucket of water, pull your arm out, and the whole of the leaves of the bucket of water will be how much you'll miss when you're gone. You like that, Jenny?
It's cute.
Cute. But it's about right, isn't it? It's about right. We don't remember people very long. And that's sad, you know. There's some great people who've lived in this country who've done wondrous things, and you have so many freedoms because of them today. You probably can't name any of them. If you would ask, most people name some presidents. Most of them have been long forgotten. Who was that provided all this highway system for us? Oh, pretty good. Eisenhower. That's pretty good. Who was the 16th president of the United States of America? Lincoln. Who was the first? Well, you sure you know that? Who's the one? No, not a bit nicer.
Not the last.
Verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. What's from everlasting to everlasting, I ask? The mercy of the Lord. Lord, have mercy on me, people say. Or mercy me. Hear people say that? Mercy me. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Not upon everybody? No. Upon them that fear him. and his righteousness unto the children's children. Who are children's children? Your grandchildren. To such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments. What's the last three words? To do them. It does not much good to know his commandments unless you're going to what? Do them. The Bible teaches obedience, doesn't it? And that's one of those that does it. What a Psalm. 103. 104 now. Did you locate any scientific facts in this chapter, anybody? Or did you get that far?
I had down the circle of the earth.
What verse is that? Huh? Is that in this one?
Yep.
19.
No, it's not
19. That's not 19. He appointed the moon for seasons. That's good. That's a good scientific fact. And the sun north is going down. You know about the sun going down? That's a scientific fact.
Well, didn't it take the scientists a while to figure out the earth wasn't hung on anything?
That's correct.
That's took I a lot.
Yeah. Another reference for that one, though. We looked at that earlier, I think. Most of these scientific facts were not known when these writers penned these words. Do you know that? What does that tell you? How did these men write those things when they had not even been discovered by man? The Bible's inspired. They wrote by God's direction. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That's how they knew that. The New Testament has some scientific facts too. When we get over there, we'll look at some of them. Like, you know, there's one blood of all men. Do you know everybody's bloods alike? I don't mean types. There's one blood of everybody. Do you know that? Acts 17 says that. Made of one blood. Man didn't know that until he invented these blood analysis equipment. But the Apostle Paul knew it because he wrote by inspiration. Isn't that wonderful to know that? It just makes you appreciate the Bible and the fact that it's not the words of men, but it is the words of God. Psalm 104. Begins by saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord. My God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Those are descriptions of God Almighty. Verse 2, who covereth thyself with light as with a garment. Now watch this little statement. Who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain. Think about that. Like a curtain.
Is that like night?
What?
Is that like nighttime?
Yeah, could be. Or you know, like you draw a drapery, you know how that works, Loretta? You ever doing that? Okay. Like a curtain. Verse 6 first. Thou coverest it with the deep, as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. What's the deep? The ocean. When did the water stand above the mountains? Leslie? And the flood. That, you know, we have people who don't believe there's a worldwide flood. They think just a local flood. No, no, no. It's worldwide. Covered all the mountains. And there's a little reference to it right there, verse 6. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains at one time. That's when everybody did what? That's when everybody... drowned except those in the ark. How many is in the ark? Eight people saved in the ark. Noah and his wife and their three sons and their wives. Eight souls saved in the ark. Everybody else drowned. And those animals that he took in. Did Noah take fish in the ark? Mabel? Why not take fish in? Ryan?
They drown.
Huh?
They die in the boat.
Well, they can put some water in there. They wouldn't have needed to, would they?
Keep the water outside.
Okay. Good. Just a good thought question. Verse 9, thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. What won't cover the earth? No more floods to cover the whole earth. Now that's not to say there won't be a local flood, but there never will be a flood to destroy all the earth again. And how do you know that's that way, besides reading in the text? Rainbow. When God said, I'm going to put a bow in the cloud, and that will tell you there'll never be another flood to destroy all the earth again. Sign of the rainbow. Don't overlook rainbows when you have a chance to see one. Stop the car if you're driving, or whatever you're doing, and show the kids, if you have children, that rainbow, what it meant, and what God is still doing. He's still keeping His word. Wonderful story, isn't it? Verse 14. Talk about God, He causes the grass to grow for the cattle. Cattle need grass to eat. Herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. Verse 16, the trees of the Lord are full of sap. You know we've got a problem this year with sap in trees? You know what the problem is? It's been too warm. And the sap has not gone down far enough. Are you aware of that? That's what's happened. And there's some problems with that in case it does what, Robin? Freezes. And you can entertain that. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. That's the reason when the sap comes up, what happens to a tree? Caleb? What comes out?
Leaves.
Leaves.
Oh, okay.
Right? And when that sap goes down, what happens to the leaves? You know what happens. You have to rape them. Or whatever.
Mulch
them up, yeah. Here in February, what is it people hang on trees to get something out of?
Buckets.
Hang buckets on trees. But what do they get out of those, Jenny? Sap? Maple syrup can be made from that. Yeah. That's part of God's creation, by the way, isn't it? The trees of the Lord. That would make a good little sermon. Bible trees. Do you think that'd work? Are you aware there's a lot of trees mentioned in the Bible? Mention a New Testament tree for me real quickly. Rebecca, you can do that.
Sycamore.
Why does she mention sycamore, you think, Jenny? John.
Because it's on the Wabash.
Wabash. Karen, you have to tell us. Zacchaeus, the little man, climbed up into the sycamore tree. Remember that? And Jesus said, come down today. Salvation's come to thy house. So, remember? Why did he climb the tree anyway? He's short. And Jesus coming through and he won't be able to see him over the crowd. Okay. Little preview for you about trees. I think that's a good series of lessons. Bible trees. Did I say that more than once? I want to make sure y'all got it. In verse 17, where the birds make their nest, as for the stork and the fir tree, as a tree, the fir tree, our house, the high hills are refuge for the wild goats and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. Did you know that that still happens? Does the moon control the seasons? He said it does. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness and it is night. We're familiar with that, aren't we? Wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after prey and seek their meat from God. Where do they get their food? It says from God. He provides that. Well, I like verse 30. Psalm 104:30. Watch this one. Thou sendest forth thy spirit. They're created. And thou renewest the face of the earth. God created in the beginning. There were three persons present at the creation. Who were they? Mabel. God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 32, he looketh on the earth and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills and they smoke. What a book. Psalm 104. When you come back Sunday morning, we will pick up point number 44. Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Keep moving along pretty fast. There are two sheets I brought you tonight. You got them, everybody? 8 and 9. Page 8 and 9. And that's all of it. We'll finish that book. Not Sunday, but we'll finish it. No, I'll not finish it all Sunday. I'm going to give you a little sign book in Psalm 119. I'm going to give you a sheet. Take and pass some of this. Take one of these and pass. Give me page 89 for somebody. How many need page 8 and 9? Anybody else? You need one for your good wife?
Yep.
You need 8 and 9, I'll get you one. One more.
Jenny Marie.
8 and 9. Anybody else need page 8 and 9? You got the whole outfit now, right? 150 chapters. Okay. The sheet is coming. The sheet is coming your way. Look at it. The sheet is coming your way. Appreciation for the Word of God. It's based on Psalm 119. In the note I have for your lesson there, I have said this chapter is designed to cause one to have great appreciation for the Word of God. John is going to preach on this. I'm going to preach a sermon on Psalm 119. I'm going to make 16 points from that chapter. Points that cause all of us to appreciate God's law. So what I want you to do, and to see if we're on the same page, I want you to make a list of passages that you see in that chapter that causes you to appreciate the Word of God. I've given you the first one. Verse 1. Let me show you how it's going to work. Psalm 119:1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. I make the point from verse 1 that the law of the Lord is divine because it's of the Lord. Anytime the Bible says something is of the Lord or of God, that means it's divine. You got 15 more to do. And I'm going to preach on it. And when I preach on it, bring your sheet and let's see if we're on the same page. See what I want? Here's a little homework to do.
Did he say yes?
Yes. Well, no, I'll not do it Sunday. Okay. Let me see.
First one, how you find it?
If you copy up here, that's okay. Oh, no.
I'll either do it Sunday or the following Sunday. One or the other. Depends on how far we get. All right? You be ready?